What's going on, K-State Nation? Eddie Greer, host for the Purple Project Podcast, Daily Edition, Postcast Edition. We're going to get straight on in the business talking about women's basketball, in particularly, as I'm sitting here recording this here, prior to the Flint Hills Varsity Boys game, which is going to be played here later on tonight. K-State, of course, the women's side, really on a downswing, as I've been mentioning on the podcast as of late, and that continues in another big deficit loss, 69-48 over Baylor on the road in Waco last night. That dropped K-State down to 12-7 overall, and now just 1-5 in Big 12 play in this instance here, as the K-State was leading, actually, by 2 after the first quarter, and then the second half quarter hit, and then it all just kind of was just too quick to hit. Baylor had an answer for every K-State run in this matchup here. K-State actually was leading 14-9, actually, before the big run went down for Baylor in this one, and it keyed off a 7-minute drought for K-State in that stretch. They were only 0-11 in this in the second quarter of this game. That, again, I don't have to tell you guys that in that stretch, yep, that is not going to get it done there as well. It did see, though, late in this ball game, a stretch there, late in the game, where Gabby Gregory finally got herself going in the basketball game, saw a couple threes go down. Late, as Jeff Mini talked about in his post game there as well. So you go through those routes. I don't know what it is about the road this year for the Cats, and particularly Big 12 play. Well, prior to this, though, K-State was doing quite well, as I've referred to multiple times now lately here on the Pro Project Podcast with you guys. And it seemed like K-State had Baylor there for a little bit there, and then that run, and then you get too far, you dig yourself deep in a hole, you just cannot come out of there as well there. And I talked about runs there. Baylor in that for early first half, in that second quarter, 16-0 run, which all of a sudden ballooned to 25-14, and I believe the halftime margin was 30-14, possible. I have to do the. I know I'm doing quick math on top of my head right there as well, but that marked another loss in the books for K-State now, and they got to come back home now and face what looks to me a winless TCU team there. K-State here on the numbers, they did start again the same lineup that they've been starting here for the past three games straight. Samotsi, the Glenn twins, Sundell, and Gregory. As I mentioned, Gabby Gregory, and hold on a second here, I'm going to go back up to the three-point percentage here. Less than 20% from downtown last night and 30% from the field. And while Baylor ended up shooting 42% from the field and 30% from downtown, but it was those big ass runs that put you in the hole. You cannot, especially if you're struggling in any part of the game there as well. I mentioned Gabby Gregory here. The 3-point struggles continued, but she did get down two to go down after going 0-5 in the recent game there against, I cannot remember who they played up, Texas Tech, Texas, Iowa State. Between Iowa State, Texas Tech, and now Baylor, Gabby Gregory has really struggled from downtown. Yes, she did get a couple to go late last night in that ball game against the Bears on the road. If I calculate those numbers right, she's only made, four of her last, 28 to 29 shots from three in this losing streak there. And 4 of 19 from the field last night, just focusing on that there as well. But K-State did see four players in double digits, including Gabby Gregory. Jalen Glenn, another double-digit game performance from her. 11-8 for Jalen. Serena Sundell had 10 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. And then how about this? I talked about the bench and when they needed to show up on the previous postcast. They get that from Heavenly Greer. Again, no relation, especially with a different spelling of the last name. Heavenly Greer, 10 points last night, and she was the only player to produce points from the field last night. Well, not from the field, off the bench there, which included, coming from the bench, Emily Ebert, Taylor Lauterbach, and this is the first time we called out her name on the podcast quite a bit here at Lauterbach. She started quite a bit in them games in the non-con. You don't get enough right there. Taylor Lauterbach in only 10 minutes of action, no points. Ebert only 0-3 from the field, 0-1 from downtown. You get no production from Ebert there. And Eliza Maupin continues her drought as well. No points in 8 minutes of action of play. You don't get production from your part of your front court, which is Sarah Samasi and Briley Glenn. Come off that 24-point performance, you don't get that. You only get 2. So the inconsistencies on offense there is probably really the most likely reason there that the Cats are in this little funk they're in right now. They got to figure it out. And hopefully, like we mentioned on the weekly edition coming out tomorrow late afternoon with me and my co-host Alex Aiden, episode 141 of the Pro Project Podcast Weekly. You lose to TCU, a team that is winless in the conference here, still winless after getting blown out at home against Oklahoma, 15th ranked Oklahoma, 93-66. You don't handle business there. It's going to raise multiple red flags in this season right here. I wanted to mention Jalen Glenn here. Let's see if I can real quick. Yes, Jalen Glenn. Let's see. Yeah, Jalen Glenn. 8 rebounds last night, her 9th game of the year with 5 or more rebounds, 19th of her K-State career there as well. I just wanted to bring that up because Jalen Glenn has been having a nice season here at K-State during this losing streak here. Jeff Mitty after the game, in particularly, I'm actually going to focus on, pull a quote here that Coach Mitty talked about Gabby's night. Quote, she has got the green light. It was good to see her get a couple go down in the fourth quarter because she's really struggled as of late, and so good to see her get a couple to go down. Good to see Serena get one down for us because both of them have been really struggling knocking down shots over the last 10 days, and both are good shooters and both have had pretty good looks. But yeah, Gabby is one that I think has gotten a little bit frustrated, and that has impacted her shooting the ball very well, in quote there as well. Yeah, there's just no way around it. And probably the fact that is because the fact that, you know, this team has hit that early wall here in Big 12 play, and now you have to find a way to dig yourself out of it. Maybe there's a sun trying to pop out for Gabby there. She's been really struggling down there after being so good early point of the season. Now you're hitting this funk, and where's that offense going to come from? Well, you get an okay night from the two of them, Serena and Gabby. You don't get nothing from the front court. You don't, other than Heavenly Greer last night, you get absolutely nothing from the bench as well. Hard to win games that way, and hard to win games when you're going into droughts like that. A couple of droughts last night in that 16-0 run by Baylor in the middle of that first half right there. Pretty much sealed the deal there as K-State play. Other than that, K-State played Baylor pretty tight throughout the game. That second quarter, pretty glaring there. You only score 7 points in that quarter. Baylor, 21 points in that, and that results you to 1-5 in the conference. And now you have the bottom feeders of the Big 12 going head-to-head there on Saturday night back here in Brandon Mudge in Manhattan, Kansas. There 6:30 tip, a little bit after that as well. You got TCU rolling in here, 6-11 overall. K-State now is at a point where, all right, you have to see, you got to try to get something here. 12-7, this is harsh, but yeah, this has to be must win for sure. You got to win this game here and hope that your players, and particularly your role players, can get off the start here and jumpstart this K-State team. So hopefully, whatever Gabby found last night in Serena's been up and down. I mentioned that on this podcast here the last several weeks since K-State's hit this losing streak here. I might as well pull how many times they, what's the losing streak now for this team now? You got to go back 1, 2, 3, 4 game losing streak. The last time they won was back early in the month. You got to go back to January 4th, the last time K-State marked up the win. That was against Oklahoma State there to get their first conference win. Since then, as we're recording this prior to me heading to Flint Hills here, January 19th. So it's been quite a bit since the women's team has seen a victory formation. So we'll see what happens. Definitely a must win. If K-State were to lose on Saturday night to TCU, winless TCU, yeah, then we got problems going on around here. Not saying that they are already. Jeff Diffmeade already clarified those in the last matchup, which is serious issues, which is very serious there. So can't play games around that. But again, another loss on the road to Baylor in there. Oh, by the way, if you haven't been paying attention yet, the women's team still have yet to win a game in the conference play as they fall to Baylor by 21 last night in Waco, 69-48. The Pearl Project Podcast, get it wherever podcasts are found. That's going to wrap things up in another postcast edition of this podcast. Remember what I said before, weekly will be out. Should be out when this podcast, this should be out when the podcast weekly rolls out as well. And then, of course, any questions, you can find me on Twitter or comments about the Pearl Project Podcast. We want feedback from K-State Nation. You can find me at Eddie_3G. Postcast is in the books. Pearl Project Podcast. Go Cats. Eddie Greer. Stay tuned for more Wildcat coverage.